Let's start our gospel meeting tonight with number 20 on our hymn sheet. Behold the Savior at the door. He gently knocks, says not the door, has waited long, is waiting still. You use no other friend to fulfill. Open the door. He'll enter in and sup with you, and you with him. Number 20.
Behold the Savior.
Let's sing another hymn, number 16. Whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. Send the blessing tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Maybe we can stand up and sing this one.
Whosoever heareth, shout, shout.
Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Ever seen an older person puts his hand up to his ear and turns his ear towards you? He's inclining his ear so that he can hear. It is extremely important that we listen to God. What impresses me more and more is the value, the living power in the precious Word of God. It's not what I say about this book that's going to have so much importance as it is what God Himself says in His Word. That's why so many of us have Bibles in our laps. I can make a mistake. Check it out, that Bible you have. What's important is that you listen to what God has to say. Now here's the verse I want you to listen to. A well-known verse. You listening? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I suppose that's the most memorized verse in the whole Bible. But it is such a precious message that it contains. I wonder if you are really listening to what it says in that verse. God is a God of love. You know, so often people have the idea that God is some great being out there that is just waiting to thrash a person that isn't living like he should. That is not the God of the Bible. God is a God of love. But at the same time, God is a God of light. And those sins you and I have will never allow you to go into heaven's gate. It won't happen. Even if it's just one little white lie you have to your account, God will never allow one little white lie into heaven. It won't happen. Are you listening? That's why God sent His Son into this world. And God knew what was going to happen when He sent His Son into this world. He knew the reception His Son was going to get. He knew that after those 33 and a half years approximately, that they were going to take His only begotten Son and nail Him to the cross to die a criminal's death. But you know, not only did Jesus suffer from the hands of His creature man who nailed Him to that cross, but in 3 hours of darkness from 12 noon to 3 in the afternoon, something else took place that so many people have no clue about. When He was hanging there in those 3 hours of darkness, the Bible says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Those sins of yours had to receive their just punishment from the hand of God Himself. But God, being the God of love that He is, said, I don't want anybody going to the lake of fire. And He sent His Son to take our place on that cross. And in those 3 hours of darkness, so they didn't have to banish me to the lake of fire forever, God laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And that storm of judgment broke on Jesus in all its fury. He exhausted the judgment of God that was towards me as a guilty, lost sinner. Before he died, he said, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, gave up his life. He died. The Son of God, the Creator of the universe, hung dead on a cross for a rebel like me. I tell you, it's a love I can't understand. I still marvel at it. I stand at a distance in awe of what took place at that cross. But you know what amazes me? Is that there are many people that have memorized this verse that are on their way to a lost eternity. We go to prisons a lot. I'm amazed how many people in prison can quote John 3:16. And I'm convinced that there will be people in a lost eternity in the lake of fire who will be able to quote John 3:16. They did not listen. It didn't get through. Yes, they heard it with these ears, but they blocked the message and they didn't allow it into their souls. It is so important that you let the Word of God penetrate to your heart and to your conscience, to your soul tonight. It's by the hearing of the Word of God that God imparts life to dead sinners, dead in their trespasses and sins. I'd like to go to the book of John, John's Gospel, chapter 5, to speak about this question of hearing. It impresses me so much that people often will sit in a gospel meeting. Yes, they seem to be listening, but they really are not hearing. Remember, it says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live." John chapter 5, we're going to begin with verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." You probably noticed that it speaks quite a few times about hearing in these verses. But verse 24 has five parts. You got five fingers on your hand. Let's go over these five parts. "He that heareth my word," Jesus says, "and believeth," number two, "on him that sent me," number three, "hath everlasting life," number four, "shall not come into condemnation," number five, "but is passed from death into life." Now, the first two things are what you and I do. What do we have to do? hear, he that heareth my word and believeth. We don't just believe any old thing. You know, sometimes people think, oh, it doesn't matter too much what you believe. It's just a matter of having enough faith. It does matter what you believe. It is important. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen to what God says. There's a lot of voices in the world today, but it is important that you sort out human voices, that you listen to what God is telling us in His Word. Here it is. The Lord Jesus Himself spoke these words, and He prefaced them, "Verily, verily." Here's something that is true. You can count on it. He that heareth my word. Are you listening? Just want to say, you know, I sometimes see up here as I'm looking around the room that some people are talking. I find it pretty hard to listen while I'm talking. I just suggest that this is the time for listening. You know, some of us like to talk a lot. I suppose I'm kind of guilty in that side of things. Somebody said not too long ago, for some reason God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Maybe we should ratio our talking and our hearing accordingly. But we need to listen to what God has to say. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. That's what you and I do. Hear and believe. When that happens, there are 3 other things that God does. Hath everlasting life. He gives us everlasting life. And number 4, shall not come into condemnation. In other words, that word condemnation means judgment. For according to the Word of God, I can say there will be no judgment that I experience for my sins, because Jesus paid the price for me on the cross of Calvary. Shall not come into condemnation, and the last one, but is passed from death unto life. Completely out of the position of death. Now we have a life. The believer in the Lord Jesus has a life that cannot die. Oh yes, this body may die, but the life I have in the Lord Jesus Christ is a life in resurrection. It is a life that cannot die. When you hear that this body has died, you'll know that I'm more alive than ever, only in a different place with Christ. That's the truth of the Word of God. But now notice verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. What are we talking about here? Dead people hear? Do they listen? I've been at funerals before. I've seen some of them, their relatives, crying and calling out to them. Do they hear? No. I haven't seen any indication that they were hearing. But what does this mean? The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. The difference is, when the Son of God speaks, the dead hear. You may be here in your sins. God says you are dead in trespasses and sins. You're not physically dead, but if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're spiritually dead. And I can see that sometimes when I speak to souls. I'm speaking here to a group. I would suppose most everybody has heard the gospel before. I don't think what I'm saying is anything that new. But what I'm saying is it scares me when I think that there are people who sit in these gospel meetings but never have really, truly opened their ears to hear seriously what God is saying to them. Does that happen? Yes, it sure does. Jesus had 12 apostles. Of the 12, one was not real. Didn't he listen to Jesus? I'm sure he was there when Jesus spoke his wonderful Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We have recorded what he said. Wonderful words. But Judas had another agenda. He really wasn't listening. And Judas went to his own place. Judas is in hell fire tonight. Awful to think about. Does that happen today in 2005? I think I've told it before, but when we lived in Bolivia, the Lord allowed something to happen that shook me to the core. We moved to the town of Montero in the eastern Amazon basin area of Bolivia and decided to build a house there, and we contracted a brother. And one of the young men that he subcontracted was a professing believer as well. His name was Jaime. He went along with me on a visit, I remember, one weekend, and I never thought too much about it. I just thought, well, he's a new believer. He doesn't understand a whole lot of the scriptures yet. But after our home was built, he went off to some other job, and finally he totally lost contact with him. And one day, I was in the marketplace of Santa Cruz, Bolivia, and I met Jaime. I said, "Jaime, where have you been?" "Oh, don't worry about me. I'll be coming to meeting. I didn't meet him again. But if you are ever in Bolivia, in the city of Montero where we lived, there are motorcycles that they use as taxis. You just climb on the back of the motorcycle, and they'll take you where you want to go instead of getting into a taxi. Well, these guys, these motorcycle taxi drivers, they started showing up dead here and there. And nobody could tell who was doing it until one day they found a guy that had been shot through the head out on the side of the road, and evidently the bullet had gone around inside of his skull, and he wasn't killed. So they brought him into the hospital, and he recovered, and he told who was doing it. It was this Jaime Martinez. And he was taken into custody, and he confessed. It was a military regime in Bolivia at the time, and he confessed to having killed 12 people. And not only did he confess to doing it, but he said, "I'm going to do far worse when I get out again." The people of Montero were so incensed at him that they mobbed the prison, and they wanted to take him out and pull him to pieces right there. They had to call in the army to hold the people off, and they took him to a different area. Under military government, they don't do it like they do under democracy. And one day, they took Jaime out into the jungles to, under the pretense of doing an investigation where he sold one of the motorcycles that he took from the guy he had shot. And I think they probably did this on purpose, but they weren't watching Jaime very close, and all of a sudden he was running towards the jungle. And they shouted, "Stop!" And he didn't stop, and they took out their pistols, and Jaime entered eternity. It shook me to the core when I thought, here was a man that actually broke bread with me, the Lord's table. Have no reason to believe that he is saved. Have very good reason to believe that he went out of this life into hellfire. Is it possible that there's somebody here that is putting on a good front? You've got everybody fooled. I know I've been fooled by people lots of times. Let me tell you, you can fool me, you can fool your folks, you can fool your brethren. You cannot fool God. And if you think you're fooling everybody else, you're fooling yourself worse than you're doing anybody else. Don't do it anymore. Stop. Repent of your attitude and come in saving faith to the Lord Jesus, because there's still time now. Listen. Let His Word penetrate into your heart and conscience. Here it says, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I love the story we have in John's Gospel in the 11th chapter of a man called Lazarus. Lazarus died and was buried. He was 4 days already in the grave. When Jesus came to that place, and they took him to that graveyard, and he said, "Take away the stone." Evidently, they put people in a hole and then they covered it with a stone. And there he stood, Jesus, the Son of God. You know, I could have stood at that grave and shouted, and Lazarus would never have heard me. But the Son of God was standing there. And the time came when he lifted up his voice and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me always." And then Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." When the Son of God speaks, the dead live. That's why it's so important you listen. Not to me, but to what God says here in His Word. How often we don't listen. You know, Lazarus, the way they buried them was they took strips of cloth and they wrapped them around the body. You may say, how in the world is Lazarus going to come forth? How does he expect him to come forth when he's all bound up? But Lazarus got up and he came out of that tomb. Why? The Son of God had spoken. And when the Son of God speak, the dead live. Oh, that's why it's so important that you listen to what God is saying to you in His Word. You know, if he hadn't said, "Lazarus, come forth," he would have had everybody out of that cemetery. He would have emptied the cemetery. But he qualified it. "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out of that tomb. The Lord said, "Loose him and let him go." They had to unwrap him from his grave clothes. Oh, that is such a beautiful lesson for us. And I ask each one of you, are you listening, really, truly listening to God? You know, there are people in the Word of God that God spoke to again and again and again. They did not listen, like we're talking about here. Let me tell you the story of a man that we have his history in the Old Testament. He was a king. In fact, he was a king of kings, the scripture says. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. I understand that Saddam Hussein of Iraq claimed to be a direct descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. Don't know if that can be confirmed or not. But he was a tyrant. He was a total dictator. His word, he took away some people's lives and other people's, he left live. He was quite an interesting man. One time he had a dream. It's recorded in chapter 2 of Daniel. And he wanted to make sure that he got the right interpretation of the dream. So instead of telling the dream to his wise men, he said to them, I want you to tell me the dream that I've dreamed and tell me the interpretation too. And they said, O king, nobody asked for such a thing in the whole world. Tell us the dream and then we'll tell you the interpretation. You read it in the King James Version, it seems like he forgot his dream. But really, you read it in the New Translation, you'll see that he didn't really forget it. He just wanted to make sure he got the right interpretation. So he just told them, you're going to tell me my dream. And if you don't tell me my dream and the interpretation, you're going to get the sword. Every one of you. Every one of you wise men. And nobody could tell him. It was such an unreasonable demand that the captain of the guard was looking for all the wise men and he was going to take them out to slaughter them. That's the kind of man Nebuchadnezzar was. Daniel, one of God's children, was there, and he, with his three friends, asked the captain of the guard to give him some time, and he prayed. And God showed Daniel not only the dream, but the interpretation of it. Nebuchadnezzar was extremely impressed. And he gave tremendous promotions to Daniel and his three friends. He was impressed, but he did not listen yet. He was an unchanged man. We go on to the third chapter of Daniel, and there is a more interesting story. We don't see Daniel in chapter 3. I don't know where he was. He might have been on a trip. But it's just his three friends that are there. Nebuchadnezzar decided he was going to unite all his kingdom under one religion. And he made a golden idol. And he set it up in the plains of Babylon. And then he gathered all his authorities together and demanded that they all bow down to that golden image that he had set up. When all the musical instruments were playing, they were all to bow down and worship that one image. And there were three of Daniel's friends that decided they could not bow down. Their allegiance was to a higher authority. They were not rebellious men. No, they were simply obedient men. And they realized that there was a higher authority than Nebuchadnezzar, was God. And God had said in the law of Moses not to make any image, nor to bow down to any image. And so they stood there, and they got told on. The news of it came to Nebuchadnezzar's ears, and they were brought to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm really being good to you. I'm going to give you a chance. Did you hear my command? that I said, when all the musical instruments are playing, you bow down. I'm going to give you another chance. And they said, O king, we are not careful to answer you about this matter. We will not bow down to your God. And he was a man that was not used to being crossed. And he was furious. How dare these three Hebrew children defy my order? Heat up that fiery furnace. They were to be thrown into it. He says, heat it seven times hotter than it's used to be. And they were to be put in all their clothes and tied up. And then the most powerful men in his army were to take them and throw them into the fiery furnace. And the men that threw them in because the fiery furnace was so hot died. But all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar gets up. Didn't we throw three men into the fiery furnace? I see four men in there walking in the midst of the fire and they're not hurt. So he came close to the door of the fiery furnace and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Since they were not rebellious men, that was an order they could have obeyed. And they came right out of the fiery furnace. And they looked at him. You know, the only thing that got burned on them were the ropes that were tying them up. Not even the smell of smoke was on the rest of them. God had protected them. And in that fiery trial, they had the privilege of walking with the Son of God. The fire could not burn on them while they were in his company. Nebuchadnezzar was extremely impressed this time. He gave an order. Anybody that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their houses are going to be torn down. They're going to be cut in pieces. Pretty impressive. He was impressed. But Nebuchadnezzar still didn't listen to God. He was an unchanged man. In the following chapter, very interesting chapter, the fourth of Daniel, is really a letter written by King Nebuchadnezzar. You can read it when you have a chance. I love to read it. It tells what happened next. Nebuchadnezzar had another dream. You know, God gives warning when he's going to judge. What's happened down in the south of the United States is a warning, just like 9/11 was a warning. People listen for a while, but then they harden themselves and continue on their way. I understand that in New Orleans they were to have a gay pride parade, and that storm hit and forewent all their parades that they were going to have. God is not mocked. Well, Nebuchadnezzar had another dream. And in this dream, it was a tree, a tremendously great tree, and all the beasts of the field were under its shadow, and there were fowls in the air. And then finally the time came when there was an order of a holy one from above that said, cut down the tree, but leave the stump in the earth. Let all the beasts get out from underneath its shadow. And Nebuchadnezzar asked his wise men to interpret it, and they could not. And Daniel is brought in to interpret it. And Daniel probably realized what might happen to the person that gave him the true interpretation of that dream. And you know what? The scripture tells us he stood there for a whole hour in front of Nebuchadnezzar without saying anything. You know, sometimes it's good to be quiet. And after a whole hour, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Oh, Daniel, let not the dream trouble thee." And so Daniel said, "O king, let the dream be to thine enemies and to them that hate thee." And then he interpreted the dream. "The tree, it is thou, O king, thou art become great." And Nebuchadnezzar was a great man. He was a king of kings. But Daniel said, there's the Most High that rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. And that it was cut down, the kingdom is going to be taken away from you for a time. Until you realize that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. And then he said, "Let my counsel be to break off your sins and to show mercy to the poor." Evidently, Nebuchadnezzar must have listened for a while. But after a whole year, Scripture tells us that he was in Babylon. And one day he got a scourge of eye trouble. He said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built by the might of my power?" He was struck on himself. And Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon was an interesting place. I understand that it was one of the ancient wonders of the world. I remember right, the dimensions of that city are tremendously interesting to. If I remember right, the outer walls, I think there were double walls around Babylon. But the outer walls were 100 feet high. And they were so thick that I think it was 5 cars could drive together along the top of that wall. And that wall went, I remember right now, it's 22 miles on each side. That's how big that city was. The Hanging Gardens were one of the wonders of the ancient world. So you might say he had something to brag about, yeah. But he had forgotten about the Most High that rules in the kingdoms of men. And when he started bragging, a voice came from heaven, "The kingdom has departed from you, and you'll be cast into the field." And Nebuchadnezzar, I suppose we would say, he lost his reason. And there he was out in the field on his hands and feet, hands and knees, eating grass like an ox. I've tried eating grass. It's not too wonderful to eat. But that's what he ate. Scripture says for 7 times. I don't know exactly if that means 7 years or not. And it says his hair grew like it was eagle's feathers. And his nails grew until they were like bird's claws. Like to meet up with a man like that? I'd rather not. But that's the way Nebuchadnezzar was. When a man doesn't have reference to God, he becomes a beast. And you know, there's a man in this world today, probably living today, I should say that, who Scripture calls a beast because a beast has no reference to God. Got his eyes to the ground, to the earth. And he's going to rule for 7 years. At the end of seven times, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his eyes to heaven, and his reason came back to him, and he was restored to his kingdom, and excellent greatness was added to him. Tremendous. Because at the end of that time, he says, "Now I praise and extol and glorify the God of heaven." I really think I'm going to see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. He finally listened. Are you listening? It worries me when I see you sitting here and maybe you haven't listened. Are you listening? Don't listen so much to what I say to you. Listen to what God is saying to you. Oh, the precious, living Word of God. Spirit of God is here, and He takes the Word of God and imparts life to dead souls. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of God, but He is also the Son of Man. And when it comes to the question of judgment, He judges not as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man. He will execute judgment. When people come before the judgment throne in that coming day, they're going to see a man sitting on that judgment throne. A man that has his hands and his feet pierced. A man that hung on the cross to pay the penalty for sin so that we could be saved. God wants you saved. He wants you to listen tonight. I hope you're listening. But the time is going to come, if you refuse to listen, that you're going to meet up with Jesus. Not now as the Son of God to impart life, but now as the Son of Man to be judged. Notice what it says in verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. Every single cemetery on planet Earth is going to be totally vacated. And they used to preach the gospel going through the Andes of South America. Used to go through towns that were totally abandoned. As we go out of the town, we'd pass maybe the cemetery. And I still remember a lot of those cemeteries. The bones were scattered out on the earth. There was a skull there. One time I remember passing a place where they, I don't know how they used to bury them, but there was a complete skeleton sitting there. Just about jumped when you looked in the door of the little enclosure that he was sitting there in. Do you know that every single bone is going to be brought back in resurrection? He's going to speak the word, and all that are in the graves are going to hear His voice. There is no way you can escape Jesus. If you refuse to know Him as your Savior, you must meet Him as your judge. You cannot avoid Jesus. You will come face to face with Jesus. Believe it or not, you will come face to face with Jesus. All that are in the grave shall hear His voice. And notice, there are two distinct resurrections. Verse 29 says, shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Resurrection of life is also called the first resurrection. And all those who have faith in God from the beginning of time, Abel was the first one that died with faith in God. But all those that are in the graves shall hear His voice and come forth. Every single one that has died. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is part of the first resurrection. The major part of it. The first resurrection. Christ is the first fruits. Then they that are Christ's at His coming. Oh, what a wonderful day that is going to be. Oh, what hope we have as believers in the Lord Jesus. Over 30 years ago, I was in the high plains of Bolivia. And I got a telegram from my wife, who was in Santa Cruz, telling me that my dad had gone to be with the Lord. I learned about it the day he was buried. You know, I rejoiced for Dad, because I knew he was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have the assurance that I'm going to see my dad again. Not then, as I knew him in this life with his physical problems, but in full resurrection glory. Tremendous hope we have in Christ. No separation is very lasting when it comes to our faith in Christ. But there is another resurrection. Says the resurrection, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. What is the evil that they've done? All their sins are going to be required of them. If you do not accept what Jesus did for you, you will give an account of the sins you have committed in your life. Sins that you may have long forgotten about. God is a God of real detail, and nothing will be forgotten in that day of judgment. The books are opened, and the dead are judged according to the things written in the books, according to their works. And it says, they that have done evil shall be raised to the resurrection of damnation, or condemnation. We would use that word, I suppose, or judgment. We have the record of how that judgment is going to take place at the end of time. In Revelation chapter 20, since we just have a few minutes, I'm just going to tell you what it says. It says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is of the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works out of those things that were written in the books. Every detail. If you're sitting here and do not receive Christ as your Savior, that too is in that book. Such and such a person sat in a gospel meeting on September 3rd, 2005, listened to the message of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and made a decision not to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be read out in that day. And then it says there is another book, the book of life, in which are written the names of all that have trusted in the Lord Jesus. And it says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know what? God did not make the lake of fire for people. He made it for the devil and his angels. In fact, there was no place prepared for man that didn't receive Christ as Savior. There was no place prepared. God wants you saved. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the repentance. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And if you go to the lake of fire, you will go there against the will of God, because you set your will against God's will. With all my heart, I join with all those who are believers here tonight and ask you that you sincerely think about this issue and don't wait any longer in accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen to the message. Let the Word of God penetrate your heart and your soul. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Let's pray. Father, bless thy precious word. Make it penetrate, we pray. We are incapable of doing it, but we're thankful for the presence of thy Holy Spirit. And we pray that foolish talk and activity may not be used of the enemy to pluck away the seed. We pray for blessing, not only here, but wherever thy word goes out, in that most worthy name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.